guys realize that this is the first Sunday of Lent, and we are going to start a new series called the I Am series. Seven sayings. Notice the banners are behind me. Some of you are probably thinking, oh, they're a little tough to read, but hang in there, because people within our church made these custom for us in the next 7 weeks. So I think they did a great job, but they're a little bit tough to read from the back. But it's got the seven I Ams of Jesus. When Jesus said that I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, and it keeps going on through all seven like that. And we're going to go through those seven I Ams in the next 7 weeks right up to Easter morning. So this morning, the first one is I am the bread of life. And I'm going to approach this sermon a little bit differently this morning. We are going to read scripture as we go through the message this morning. And so I want you to have your Bible open. We're going to reference back. We're going to read a portion. And then I'm going to give you some understanding of that, a message around that. And then we'll read a portion. And then we'll discuss that and read. And then we'll read a portion. That's how it's going to look this morning. So it's a little bit different than what you're used to. And so I'm going to start with the word of prayer. And then we're going to dig into kind of the intro to this this morning. And then we'll dig into the word. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we gather here in your place, as we read your scripture this morning, may you bring that word to life, Lord, and may you fill me with your spirit today as I bring your message to your people. And Lord, I pray too for those that have gathered here this morning and those that are online watching us, that you may fill them with your spirit as they hear the word that you have to say to them, not only in scripture, but also through me this morning, Lord. May they apply it to their lives, and may you bless them with that spirit today. In Jesus I pray, amen. Now, let me set the stage for this. So you see the seven I Ams that are on there. And so here is where this takes place. If I was to ask you, and I don't think anybody's been to Israel, but has anybody been to Capernaum at all? I didn't think so. Neither have I. That's on my bucket list to go to Israel someday and see this. So the story that we're going to talk about this morning takes place in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, what you're looking at here are the ruins of that synagogue where Jesus actually stood and where Jesus actually preached. And so let me give you a little bit of history. So you remember the feeding of the 5,000? Yep. Shake your heads. Yep. Okay. Yep. You got it. All right. So the feeding of the 5,000 took place the day before this. And then they had to cross the Sea of Galilee. It's a rough sea. The storm goes on. Remember his disciples? He shipped them off, and the storm is raging through the night. Jesus goes off to pray for a while, and then he comes across the water, and Peter gets out of the boat, and Peter loses faith. He sinks. Jesus pulls him out. Jesus gets in the boat. They land on the shore in Capernaum. Jesus gets out the next day, goes to the synagogue. He begins to preach to the people around Capernaum, and everybody that was in that, or part of that miracle the day before, they're fed, they're feeling pretty good, kind of like you are on Thanksgiving. They're tired, they sleep. The next day they get up, and they want to go find out where's Jesus gone. They get in their boats, they cross the sea, they come to Capernaum. And this is where the story is going to start this morning of the reading in John chapter 6. And so let's just get into it just a little bit here this morning. I'm going to give you more groundwork here as we get into this and we get into the scripture, okay? Now, trust me that I'll bring this all together and you'll have a pretty good understanding of what we're doing this morning. So here's my question this morning as we turn to this is, how many of you have ever been hungry? Yeah, some of you, right? Yeah. How many of you have ever had or encountered starvation in your life? Because there's a difference. Big time difference, right? When you're maybe just a couple meals away from losing strength or your blood sugar's kind of low. And I need to be honest with you, we've probably all been hungry at one point or another in our life, but we've never gone without a meal. At some point, we are well fed. And in this country, there are very few countries that during the winter time, when you should be packing on some food and trying to survive the coldness of winter, what do we do notoriously on January 1st in this country? We start diets. Very few nations in the world have a diet plan in the wintertime, except for the United States. Well, here's what I want you to know. In Jesus' day, when he's preaching to the people and he's feeding the 5,000, They're in a very different world that you and I live in. They're in a world that the food is scarce. There's not a lot to eat. They're not well fed, if I could use that word, kind of a farm term, right? They're going from meal to meal, maybe one meal a day, not a lot of calories. They're hungry. They get fed by Christ the day before. Well, there's stuff left over, right? But what Jesus came into is so different than what we would assume in the way that maybe they lived. See, in our minds, they're getting 3 squares a day. Boy, on Sunday afternoon, they're eating roast and potatoes every week and all that because that's how we live, and we think that's how they lived. No, they didn't live like that. There are actually people that were maybe a few meals away from starvation. They're hungry. They need food. And Christ answers that. And so food was not plentiful in their day. And now, so you need to kind of get that in your mind because that ties into the message today of what these people were striving for and what they're wanting and what Christ is trying to teach them. So throughout the course of Jesus' ministry, he made 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John that relate to his character, his divinity, and his mission of why he's here. Trying to teach his people, you and I are the same way today. So there's been many names used in the Old Testament for God, and I want to cement the I am into your brain this morning of why this is so important when Jesus says these words. Now, you have heard words in the Old Testament such as Elohim or Adonai or El Shaddai, all have different meanings like that. And then in Exodus a few weeks ago, we actually studied the word I am. What it means to you and I this morning. And Moses told the Israelites that I am has sent me. And part of our message a few weeks back, if you remember that. And the I am can literally be translated, I am without equal. Meaning that I am the only God. I am he is what a God is trying to teach his people in Exodus. And then we get to Jesus' statements. I am comes out. And so when you hear him say, I am the bread of life. What he's saying to you and I is that I am the only one. I am without equal. There is no other God. I am he. And he's upon this earth. And he's speaking to the Israelites and to the Jewish people as he begins to show them who he is. And so you got that now as well this morning. Now I want you to turn in your Bible this morning. Get out your Bible, turn to John chapter 6. I'm going to break this up into, I think, 4 segments this morning. We're going to read, and then I'm going to give you some message behind it. Take notes, write in your Bible. So you got some stuff to go home with this morning. So here is how the conversation goes. Now remember, they've now landed on the shore of Capernaum. Jesus is preaching in the synagogue, and here's what happens. So read along with me this morning. I'm going to leave my Bible open here, and I'm just going to read right off the pulpit here. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you. Now let me make a comment here. Where you see the word very, if you go to other types of Bible translations, you'll see truly, truly. There'll be 2 words back to back. I'll talk about that in just a minute. So if I read it, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Now, when Jesus says, truly, truly, some of you are aware of this, you study Scripture, what he's trying to say is that pay attention here, right? Truly is also another word for amen. I mean, it's the truth. So what he's saying is truly, truly, or amen, amen. Listen to what I am going to say, people of God, is what Jesus is trying to get out. Now, these people, they saw the miracle in Bethsaida the day before. They've eaten their miraculous meal, but they wanted more. Remember the culture they lived in. There wasn't a lot of food. They pursue him. Their stomachs are probably empty, and they want more physical food in their lives. They wanted to witness another miracle and to have their stomachs filled literally. like that. I mean, this is a good deal. Follow Jesus around, and my stomach is full. I don't have to hunt for it. I don't have to bake it. I don't have to start a fire. This is a good thing. This is like for you that your mother's cooked for you yet. That's a good deal, isn't it? I remember being a bachelor for the first few years. Sunday noon meal, that was the best meal of the week. You could just tank up, right? And so they're experiencing that by following Jesus Christ. They're getting their physical feel in their stomachs. I mean, this is a good thing they got going there. But Jesus says, you missed the entire point of my miracle. You didn't see it. You're not understanding what I'm trying to get through to you, is what he says to them. And they saw the miracles. But the signs, the miracles, somehow they'd missed it. Signs that provided insights into who Jesus is. And they were looking past it. They weren't realizing who this Jesus was that was right in front of them. And then he says, don't work for things that spoil. Work for the food that lasts forever, is what he says to them. And what he's saying is, quit looking to earthly things and look to me. Quit looking at earthly things. No different for you and I today. Jesus is working in our midst. And often we don't even see it till maybe it's after the fact. When 2020, the hindsight's perfect, right? We understand, we realize, we might see God's hand. But when you're going through something, you don't always see God's hand at work and maybe what Christ is doing in your life. And often, sometimes I think it's so subtle, or we might think it's so common. The way he provides for us, the way he cares for us, the way he answers a prayer. Do you take note in your life? And here's another point I want to make you this morning. Sometimes I think we are also too busy to see the work of Christ in our lives. And here's what God might say to you and I this morning. Like those that were seeking the food because that was the problem in their culture. You and I are so busy. If he used to come today, he'd probably say this to you and I. You're too busy. You need to slow down. You're not taking any time for me. You're all caught up in these earthly things. You're chasing after that new boat, that new car, that vacation home, that lifestyle you want, that new home, the new carpet you need, the chair that you want to have in your living room, all those things. Children's sports, going here, going there, going out to eat. None of those are bad, but you never take me with. You're too busy today, people, is what he says. Their problem was hunger. That occupied their whole entire mind. Where's my next meal coming from? See, the culture changes. What is our problem today? And it might simply be, we're too busy. God isn't a priority. Oh, we go to church. We pray from time to time. But is he always first for you and I in our lives? How does he speak to you today? All right, get your Bible back out. Let's go to the next set of verses. All right, John 6, 28 through 34. This is the response of the people. Now, Jesus spoke to them, and then we see the response. Then they asked him, what must we do to the works, do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this. And this is so simple, all right? This is where people often overlook this. To believe in the one he has sent. Jesus Christ, grace, just to believe. Notice what they're trying to do. They want to work for it, right? So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our answers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, now notice, very truly I tell you, truly, truly, the second time you see it here in the scriptures, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Now they're looking for a sign. They're looking for a miracle. What happened to them yesterday? What happened? They got fed by how many fish and how many loaves? And how many people were fed? Have you and I ever gone to the Royal Fork or in Sioux Falls or to some kind of a banquet? So how many of you remember Walt and Mary's in Sioux Falls? So I'm going way back. Yeah. Where it was just a smorgasbord or a buffet of stuff. You know that if you were to show up with 5,000 people with a couple fish and a couple loaves, that's not going to go very far, is it? They witnessed a miracle already. Day later, they're asking him, are you going to give us a sign of who you are? You got to be kidding, right? I'm sure that's what he was thinking. Are you serious? Were you not there yesterday? Don't you understand who I am? Really? I'm giving it all to you right there, and you don't see it? Do you understand what's going on here? I'm sure those are the things that came through his mind. And so I got this picture. You know, it talks about, you know, we're looking for this miracle. They're focused on how do we earn our way to heaven? How do we get closer to God? What work must we do? And of course, Jesus says, there is no work to do. Just believe. And then you want to work for me, is what he's trying to get into their head. So I have this picture. Let me jump here a minute. Right there. Train track. So get this image in your head. So Christ is telling them, you know, this is what faith should look like. First, you should believe in me. I'm the one that was sent by the Father. And of course, you need to give them, you need to cut them a little bit of slack, because they don't see the full picture yet. We do, because we have the Bible in front of us, right? They don't know that Christ is going to go to the cross. He's going to die for their sins and the ministry and the miracles he's going to perform. But we do. So we see the full story, but they don't know that yet. And so they're trying to figure out who this guy is and what's going on in their lives. But Christ is trying to explain to them, well, you got to have faith in me, and then you'll be driven to works. You're going to want to do things for the kingdom of God. And so then I come up this week and said, well, what's a good way I can get that across? Because you can't have one without the other. And I thought, you know, what is in our world today that you got to have two of something, but you can't have one, it doesn't work. I thought, you know what, a railroad track, right? Now, yeah, you can get technical with me and you can say, well, in Chicago they have the monorail and it runs on one deal and da-da-da. Well, that's not my point this morning. If you're riding on a train, there's always two tracks, isn't there? Can you run a train with one track? No. So think about faith in your life. If you have faith, you believe in Jesus Christ, the other track that's running right beside you is works. They run together. You can't separate the two. It doesn't work that way. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're also involved in the kingdom doing works at the same time. And that's what Christ is trying to teach us this morning. That's what Christ is trying to teach his people in that day. The grace of God. You know, we're no different. How often do you encounter things in your life? You pray for things and you're not sure what to do, but you want a clear sign, right? Because in that day, the people had a clear sign the day before, the miracle of feeding of the 5,000. How often does God give us a sign, but we're not quite sure, is that really what he wants me to do? Right? We pray for those things. And a lot of us want this big neon sign at the end of our driveway every day when we leave, what I got to do today and what God wants me, da-da-da-da. And often you're not going to get that. You might once in a while where God will just speak in a great way. But through prayer and being in the Word of God and so on, and the Holy Spirit working in life, he gives you those answers. He pulls you in the direction you want to go with. He knows what you're comfortable with in your mind and where you need to go. But sometimes you might not choose that because it might not make you very comfortable to ask or what he's asking of you to do. Because sometimes you just don't want to go there. Right? Faith with works, they run side by side. Remember that. You can't choose one without the other. So let's move on to John 6, verse 35 through 40. Then Jesus declared, and here's the first statement, I am the bread of life. I am, right, God. They would have known their Old Testament very well. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now remember the culture that they're growing up in and how food is such a scarce resource and so important to them. But as I told you, you've seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. And that last day still to come. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. That second coming of Christ. So he corrects their misunderstanding, and he says, I am the bread of life. I am he that you're looking for. Now notice there's a two-pronged answer that I'm going to give you here this morning about this section of verses here. Here's the first one. He provides the physical food that you and I need on a daily basis. He does that. He does that with the 5,000. He takes care of that miracle. They're fed well. He goes on his way. They stay behind, da-da-da. We understand that God does the same for you and I. But here's the point that I think is more important for you and I this morning. Physical bread sustains life, but Jesus brings spiritual life. And so I have a simple question for you this morning. Spiritually, are you full? Or are you hungry? Where are you at? I don't have to tell you that because you know where you're at. Some of you might be a little far from God in your life right now and haven't been in the scripture whole much. Prayer life is lacking. And life's a little bit miserable and tough. Focused on the earthly things. See, that's spiritually hungry. Spiritually fed well, you're full, you're close to God, your prayer life is good, you're in the Word. Life is tough, but you know who holds tomorrow. And you're assured of that. And you can find peace in that. Now, you might be somewhere in between. And I'm going to be honest with you. As you live life, you're going to be all over the board. That's just because that's the ebb and flow of life, where we might find ourselves away from God for a while, and then we realize, hey, I need to get back closer to God. I got to do some changes in my life. And we move closer to him in our lives. I mean, that's the natural Christian life, I believe. It's going to be that ebb and flow. But the key here is that you come back. You keep working your way closer to God when you know that you get pulled away. I am the bread of life, is what Jesus says. Are you spiritually well fed? Christ says, those who come to me will never be turned away. Never. Let's go to the next set of verses. John 6, verse 41 through 51. All right, now as we go, by the way, this is going to get theologically deeper, okay, as we go into this. Jesus is going to start drilling down a little harder, and they're not always going to get it. But here's what this next one says. Let me flip that. There we go. Okay, at this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus said. No one can come to me unless the Father has sent me, draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Now pay attention. Truly, truly, again, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, keep that last verse in your mind here as I go through this next little part here. Now, once again, they're missing the point in this set of verses as well. Now, they get hung up and Jesus came down from heaven. Now, let me explain that to you. Now, we have an advantage here this morning over somebody that lives in the large city, because you and I know that in small towns, you know pretty much everybody, right? And most everybody. In Jesus' day, Bethlehem, Capernaum, those little Bethsaida, small towns. Imagine being in the area here, and let's say that you travel from Larchwood to Elvord, and then you go meet somebody in Leicester, and you come back to Inwood, and you pretty well know everybody in the community. You see, these Israelites, they're no different. Jesus, he says, hey, I came from heaven. And they're thinking, no, we know your mother, Mary, and we know your father, Joseph. We know you were born in Bethlehem. What are you saying? Because they knew each other so well. They came from a small town. Jesus, this makes no sense to us. We knew that you were born over here. God the Father's in heaven. We're not getting this. You sure you got this right? Because we're not getting your message. And then he makes a bold claim in verse 45. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. And this kind of stares right in their face, because they studied the Old Testament. They knew who God the Father is. And what Jesus says, that if you know your Old Testament well enough, if you know the Father well enough, you'll know me. And if you don't know him, which they didn't, then you didn't know your Father well enough that he is sending me. Because the prophecies are all over in the Old Testament of this coming Messiah. You know, you wonder if they're Dutch, because they're pretty thick-headed at this point, aren't they? Yeah. Some stubborn, you know, I grew up, I'm mostly Dutch. There's a little hint of German in me. I don't know, maybe Germans are stubborn too, right? But, you know, God's people, sometimes we can be so stubborn in our faith. Puts it right in front of us, and we can't seem to pick it up. Right? Yeah. And then he says it again, I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats this bread will live forever. And then notice that last verse is that, hang on to that, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That's what he says. Now, they don't understand that he's going to go to the cross yet. They don't get that. But he makes that statement. All right? So understand that. Now, so what they hear is that this guy's telling us that he came from heaven and we literally need to eat him. That's what's going through their mind. What do you mean that we're going to eat his flesh? I don't get that. That's what they're hearing. That's what they're understanding. So now let's read the last a section of verses, 52 through 59. I got so excited I flipped the wrong pages here. All right, here we go, 52 through 59. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, here we see it again, truly, truly, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Man, he doubles down on that. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So instead of clarifying the metaphor, he doubles down on it, right? Verse 53 and 54, it talks about the flesh and the blood, and you got to partake in it. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is way too much for the Jews. At this point, the wall comes up, many start to walk away. I'm done. I can't eat a person. See, that's all the further they could go in their faith. They weren't understanding the I am, that this is God. You ever had it in your life when something comes up and God is saying, just trust me, just trust me, just follow, and you know, like, man, this is going to be a disaster if I do this, but you decide to put the wall up in your faith, whatever it might be, and you start to back away from God, like, I can't go there. I can't do that, God. And God says, I am. I'm going to encourage you to go when he asks you to. When it doesn't make sense to you and I. When you think it's flesh and blood. And you start to resist. Because that's what Christ is asking of them. Trust me. Where I'm taking you. What I'm going to do. Get your eyes off these earthly things. Focus on eternity. All this stuff you're worried about today, it's nothing in 100 years. You won't even be here. Why are you worried about that? I'd rather have you with me, is what Christ says. Of course, we know today, what does the flesh and blood represent? What does it represent? Communion, right? We do this in remembrance today because we're on the backside of the cross. But we commune, we're forgiven, it's filled with grace, and he's bringing us in. He's saying, follow me, faith and works, right? Be part of the kingdom. Go where I want you to go. So here's the million-dollar question that I'm going to bring to you. I think I got to jump one more. Here we go. Sorry, I'm off a little bit. Boy, I'm off a long ways today here. Here we go. What do we take away this morning when you leave here? Let me just talk briefly about the people in Jesus' day. They're too focused on the literal. They're too focused on the physical. They couldn't see the spiritual that Jesus was so desperately trying to share with them. They had blinders on. Right? So I'm wondering this morning, are we focused on the immediate and the temporary? So much that you have blinders on that you don't focus on the spiritual in your life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, spiritual bread. The two things I want to share with you this morning to receive it. This is what you have to do. I'm talking about the table here. I'm talking about being the follower of Jesus Christ. First, you got to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Now, most of you are here today, and I'm assuming most of you, you've done that, and you said, yep, he's my God, right? No problem with that at all. I get that. I understand that. But do you trust him to meet your spiritual needs, and are you allowing him to fulfill your lives spiritually, day in, day out? All right, now here is where it's going to get harder for you and I. Some of you do very well at this. Some of you, I better not say. Here's the second part that you need to get and understand. That most people, this is where we get blockheaded sometimes in our lives. Jesus says, you have to participate. You have to receive the bread. You have to drink from the cup. Right? You have faith. But what's the second piece to that on the rail tracks? It's what, congregation? Works. That means you're involved in the kingdom of God and you're pursuing the things that he wants you to pursue. So where are you at? You must take part. It's more than the bread and it's more than the cup. Are you participating in the kingdom? Are you finding your satisfaction and fulfillment in Jesus? And here's what I want to say to you this morning. If you, I want to word this right. If you're in a place where life is just not going well, if you're in a place that you're desperate this morning, spiritually, maybe even physically, maybe you feel far from God, maybe you don't have, there's no peace in your life right now, and things are kind of in upheaval, and you're not understanding everything, and you just don't trust right now, this is what I want you to know. Jesus is the source of perfect spiritual fulfillment in your life. How many of you today think that we have problems in our world today? Anybody want to stake claim? It's the most hands I've seen up go up in a long, long time. You know what the answer is? The bottom box. The answer to a lot of our problems is we need more Jesus in our lives. That's what it's about. And guess what? That's what he's saying to the Israelites. You need more of me. That's what our world desperately needs. Jesus is the source of the bread. You're the avenue to those that need it. And that's where the work begins. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, those that God puts in front of you, that's your mission field. God says, share the bread. That's the work he calls you to. You invite your family, your friends, your neighbors to church. You share the gospel. You bring them into your backyard, share a meal. Remember that sermon from last summer? That's what it looks like. That's what God's asking you to do. That's where you need to be. Our world needs a lot more Jesus than ever before. Will you be that? And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word here today and the way that you spoke to your people back then. The conversation that you had with us this morning, the same way. Lord, how you speak to your people and what you're asking of us. Lord, it's a sacrifice. We shouldn't hold out anything is what you're asking, Lord. And may we do that. May we live fully for you. Lord, may you bless your people today. May you just surround us with your grace and your love. Lord, we know that we are deeply loved. We're not perfect. Far from it. Lord, may we continue to strive to do and work in your kingdom. We thank you for the grace that you give us. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.